I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 1. Acts, chapter 1 and verse 1. The title, perhaps, in your Bible says the Acts of the Apostles. But this is the work of the continuing Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this record given to us. Four gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts, really the history of the local church, launching out, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Well, the first verse says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark one word, if you would, please. It is the little word in verse 1, began. Began. He says, "A former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The human author here is Luke, the companion of the Apostle Paul. And he's giving us this narrative of the work of the Holy Spirit. And he references in this one verse what he wrote in the past concerning what Jesus began to do, with the conclusion, of course, that he didn't stop there. He just began. And he continues here in the book of Acts, telling us what God continues to do. And I want to give you this idea that in your life as a Christian, it's only just begun. This is just the beginning. Just the beginning. Wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, whatever God is doing in you, the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. You can have the most absolute failure humanly imaginable, the most horrific thing happen to you. But the amazing thing about the Christian life is you can start over. You can begin again. God allows that. And so you get a new beginning, no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, my friend, Dr. George Sweeting, who was pastor of the Madison Avenue Baptist Church years before I came there in New Jersey, had a favorite expression he used: the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. So wherever you find yourself at this moment, you have a series of new beginnings, new beginnings. So if you get terribly upset, troubled, depressed, despondent about anything that's going on, begin again. God makes it possible for us to begin again. I want you to remember that, because some people get so discouraged they want to stop. There's no place to stop. We need to cease not teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Just begin again. That's what it's all about. I want you to hold your place here and turn with me, if you would, please, to the Gospel according to Luke, just to prove the point. In Gospel according to Luke, the same human penman, and he writes in chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." What an amazing verse. Look at it. He wants to set in order, he says. "I'm writing this gospel record to set in order a declaration," declaring, not defending, just declaring, "those things which are most surely believed among us." What is believed among us? Someone I respect greatly said, when you meet a Christian, that Christian, whomever it may be, wherever they may live, should have certain things in common with every other Christian in the whole wide world. If you look around and think about other Christians you know, If that person is truly a Christian, there should be certain things that are true about their Christianity. You find a common denominator with them concerning Christ and the things concerning Christ. He goes on to say, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So he's addressing here the same person, and he uses the phrase again, order. Notice order in chapter 1, verse 1, in order here in chapter 1, verse 3, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. I want you to mark a few words here, if you would, please, in this tiny passage. Notice he says in verse 1, those things which are most surely believed among us. Those things which are most surely believed among us. I want you to know what those things are. And then the word certainty. Our faith is a faith of certainty. Think of that. Certainty. Our Christian faith is not some contemporary experiment. Our future is certain. It's certain. And he begins in this gospel record with some background and deals with the virgin birth of Christ. Remember that. A great deal is made of the virgin birth of Christ. The beautiful narrative of the birth of Christ given to us in Luke chapter 2 is preceded by background things that we need to know as we look to the virgin birth of Christ. And then a great amount of detail is given in this gospel record about the sinless life of Christ. You need to know that he lived a sinless life. He'd have to pay for his own sin if he sinned. But he did not have to pay and suffer for his own sin because he had no sin. He could pay our sin debt. And the reason we can tell anyone anywhere in the world at any time your sin can be forgiven is because Christ paid for that sin. And then he deals in detail in this gospel record with the death of Christ, how Christ died for us, how he paid our sin debt. He went to the cross. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin, as I've said so many times, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he died for you. The Lord tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes into the world to work, he works with people, convincing them and reproving them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that judgment, that third thing he talks about, that judgment is the judgment of our sin in the body of Christ. That's where it all begins. And then Luke deals in this gospel record with the resurrection of Jesus and his appearances. And the powerful proof of his resurrection is given in the behavior of his disciples as they were going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He deals with the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit coming to work in our lives, and his coming again, and our responsibility to witness. He even goes so far as to record that we are witnesses of these things. This is what we find in the beginning. That's the beginning, but it doesn't stop there. It continues. And so, again, back to Acts chapter 1. And the Word of God says, not only is this, just the beginning, it's just the beginning. So he tells us, the former treatise, which I have just reminded you of, have I made, O Theophilus, of all Jesus began both to do and teach. And then now he continues with what we are to continue with. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to what he says to us in the letter that Paul wrote to Philippi, to the Philippian Christians there. In chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 6, being confident of this very thing. You see that? Chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, how many of you know that God started something in your life? He started something. He intends to finish it. How many of you can explain to someone what Christ has started in your life? Would you raise your hand? You explain to someone. You can actually say to someone, this is what God started in my life. Then know also, just as surely as he started it, the Bible says he's going to continue it to his finished goal. He has something he started, he's going to finish. One of the most annoying things that we deal with among other human beings is people who start things and never finish them. How many of you know someone like that? They start lots of things and never finish them. If you know a builder like that, then you're disgusted with his building. If you know someone who's always talking about doing something and never does it, then you're disgusted listening to them. God said, I started something in your life. This is just the beginning. I will finish it. I will finish it. And the development is in God's hands. Have you ever been marveled, just absolutely marveled at what God does with some people? Hopeful people. The Lord has done something in my heart. You may not believe this, but he's done something in my heart. When I see people, when I meet people, I think of what God could do with that person. Sometimes they're good-looking folks. Sometimes they're not good-looking folks. Sometimes they're obviously intelligent people. Sometimes they're obviously not intelligent people. But when I see them, I think one thing. This life given to God can amount to more than anyone ever imagined. You just have to give it to God. All we need to know is that we've met the Lord. We believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was virgin born, lived a sinless life, went to the cross and bled and died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to indwell every believer forever, and has commissioned us to go into all the world to preach the gospel. But that is the beginning. If you've met him, if you've met him, oh, what God desires to do, this is just the beginning. I remember when we prayed to start Crown College, and we got all our work together, people involved, everybody excited, and we started it. When we started it, we didn't turn around and say, now we have Crown College. No, that was just the beginning. Before that, I remember when God touched my life and put a desire in my heart to be a preacher. And I thought, now I've preached my first sermon. But that was just the beginning. It's been a lifetime. Think of it. I remember when Evelyn and I fell in love and decided we were going to get married. And we got married. Now we could say we're married. But that was just the beginning. Just the beginning. Now more than half a century later, God has developed that in such a beautiful way. And I give him the glory for it. I'm only trying to make one point to you. One emphasis to you. If you've done something or seen something or become something, it's just the beginning. Just the beginning. And by the way, when the curtain does fall and our lives stop here, you talk about another beginning. We're going to enter the greatest new beginning ever. Ever. I'm trying to say to some of our young people especially and some of our older people, don't stop. Don't give up. Don't think it's finished. It's just the beginning. You say, what do you think about this church? I think it's just beginning. Just beginning. What do you think of the lives of these young people who say, just beginning? Just beginning. Well, you say, it's not everything it ought to be. Sure, I understand that. But we get a new beginning. It's just beginning. I want you to think this way because God hasn't given up on you or you'd be dead and gone. He's working your life. Some people get so disappointed by certain people. When they meet them, they think, oh, what a waste of life. No, in a flash, they can say, God help me, and God gives them a new beginning. A new beginning. Some of you right now listening to the sound of my voice more than anything else in the world, need a new beginning. Just beginning again. I would like to lay my finger on some things to say, I know God started this in my life. I remember sitting in a parking lot, Kroger grocery store. You won't believe this. I was 18 years old. God had called me to preach. And I took a notepad out. I was a pull-up boy for Pet Dairy. I went around to grocery stores and pulled the older milk up front, kept the fresh milk behind. That's what they call the pull-up boy. And in between stops, I remember as a Christian, God was working in my life in such a way, I took out a piece of paper, actually a notepad. I wish I still had it. And I wrote down the titles of books I wanted to write. That thought came to my mind. God has blessed me. I've been able to write over 40 books and publish, had them published. But that's just a beginning. You see what I'm saying? Some of you are pondering things and thinking about things. And that's not the end of it. When you accomplish that, that's not the end of it. That's because God's starting you on a path. I could take any area of life that way, or anything that's going on in life, and say to you, it's a beginning. Move forward from there. It's just the beginning. Let's bow in prayer, may we?